the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, in Exodus chapter 22, the Word of God continues giving some boundaries for moral and civil living, for an ordered, stable and safe society. And this is where we'll be on today's edition of Exploring the Word. But Tuesday is a special day also because we take a lot of prayer requests. Now, always in the third segment, we take questions. We love to hear from listeners. But today, on Tuesdays, we also take prayer requests and praises. So maybe you've got a praise, you've had an answered prayer, maybe you want to bring something to the table. And if the idea of countless Americans throughout the nation agreeing with you in prayer, if that's a good thing, then we welcome you to call in later in the show. But this is Alex McFarland, Exploring the Word, and with me today, a frequent habitual contributor is Jeff Shambly of The Stand, which is the digital content produced by the American Family Association. But Jeff, thank you for being with us today on Exploring the Word.
A habitual participant. I like that word.
A contributor,
a habitual contributor. I'll take that. That's great. Good to be here, Alex.
Well, it's good to have you. And again, everybody, if you've got a copy of God's Word, please turn to Exodus 22. But Jeff, as we turn there, bring us up to speed on all that you're doing through the ministries and the online content. And I know you do some audio production too. What you got going on?
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I produce and host the Stand Radio program that listeners can hear on the weekends, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central. And of course, it's a podcast archived on AFR.net. We cover the latest in culture, faith, and family. A lot of the content that you read every month in the Stand magazine, we will cover on the radio show. Jeff King will be my guest this coming weekend, talking about their 2025 Religious Persecution Index, where are the hot spots around the world for persecution. And then, Alex, coming up, two programs, really, as we draw near to Easter. On Palm Sunday weekend, Andreas Kostenberger will be my guest. And he has written a book called The Last Days of Jesus. And he has chronologically arranged all of the events of Passion Week. And so he and I have a great conversation about that. That'll air the week before Easter. And then Easter weekend, Dr. Timothy Paul Jones of Southern Seminary, apologetics professor, has written a book called Did the Resurrection Really Happen? And we'll be talking about the apologetic evidence for the resurrection.
You know, I've got to say something. By the way, folks, in addition to studying the Bible, we talk about biblical truth and worldview. You mentioned Andreas Kostenberger. Okay, with his wife, Margaret, they wrote a phenomenal book a couple of years ago, and I actually teach this in my college courses, God's Design for Men and Women.
Wow.
And folks, I would encourage you to check out this book. If you in your church or maybe even your school are trying to help people understand what God's Word says about gender and the roles of men and women, then the Kostenbergers, their book is just one of the best out there. And I'm thrilled that you're interviewing him, Jeff. That's really great.
Yeah, this is good to know about that book. We may have to circle back and get him on the program to talk about marriage at some point. But yeah,
indeed,
great, great interview.
Well, and let me throw something out here. We're going to get to Exodus 22 tomorrow and Thursday. Okay, this is March 26, 27. If you happen to be in the Wilmington, Dillon, Florence, Charleston, Conway, I'm talking what we call the Grand Strand. I'm actually right now at Myrtle Beach because we've got two lunches tomorrow. And if you want to come, folks, lunch is on me. Just email me at contact@alexmcfarland.com. And I'll tell you why I'm doing these lunches. A Wednesday free lunch, you'll get the book that Bert Harper and I wrote on 100 Bible questions. I'll give you a free book. And Wednesday, there's a lunch. Thursday, there's a lunch in Myrtle Beach. So just email me contact at alexmcfarland.com. Here's the thing, and by the way, it's 11:45 to 1, 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m., but we're bringing in some speakers over the summer. May 4th is Dinesh D'Souza, great biblical worldview speaker. We're bringing in Charlie Kirk, a lot of great speakers. So the free lunches tomorrow are two. I'm just trying to encourage anyone that wants to come to stand strong for biblical truth, but also to pray and plan to attend our summer Biblical Worldview Speaker Series. And then later, that's enough commercials for now. Later on in the show, I want to tell you also about, in Tupelo, the Activate Summit. But so we don't information overload anybody, we'll do that in the next segment. But Jeff, in Exodus, you know, Exodus 20, we've got the Ten Commandments. Really, Exodus 19, they're at Mount Sinai. God's voice is heard. Exodus 20, you've got the Ten Commandments. Then Exodus 21 and 22, and 23, there are some of God's guidelines for moral living, and also even for like making restitution if something happens that you're responsible for. In 22, it's talking about how a thief is dealt with. If someone steals someone's livestock, if arson even, or being responsible for a fire that costs somebody else. Now, Richard, we could read all of this, and we're going to read some of it, but here's the thing. People are, at least in the Mosaic, God-ordained moral culture that the Lord was building up amongst Israel, which, by the way, this has been the foundation for law throughout the Western world and certainly for America. If you go to Washington, D.C., on maybe one of the tours with Tim Wildman and David Barton, all over the Capitol and the Supreme Court building, you'll see Moses and the Ten Commandments. Because, Jeff, what I think the big takeaway for us is that people were to be responsible for their actions.
Yeah.
If they did wrong, they were to face what they did and make right. And this is one of the keys to a lawful civil society, that people are to live morally, and then when they do something that is unlawful, they make right, and they're accountable.
Yeah. You know, one of the effects of a nation with godly laws is that it has a powerful witnessing effect. Moses writes about this in Deuteronomy 4, where he's again instructing these people, look, all of these laws that we've given you, he says, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So by the fact that God gave us these laws and the ways to relate to one another in society, it has a powerful witnessing effect to nations around the world that they would be pointed to the Lord God.
Indeed. Well, you know, a rule of law society, which is what we have been, and I pray we will return to be a consistently applied rule of law society, that is a witness to the gospel, ultimately. You know, it's long been known that really responsibility in the home. Francis Schaeffer was a great biblical worldview voice. He died in the 80s. I think he died about 84 or 85. But Francis Schaeffer said, in the home, we learn about punishment and reward. We learn about guilt and repentance. And honestly, from the discipline of children in the home, even to the responsibility in the classroom, and then ultimately to be a citizen in the culture, all of these things, you know, should really groom us to realize that the ultimate one to whom we're accountable is God. And Jeff, I think a lawless society, it promotes lostness because people don't realize sin has consequences.
Yeah, and when you go into a home where there are no rules for the children, it's not a place that you want to stay very long. You know,
So
you're exactly right. Childhood is the great time to learn, okay, this is this belongs to someone else and you don't harm it or you don't abuse it. And then you take care of it. And there's consequences if you don't do that. So exactly right.
Yeah. Well, let me read verse 9 of Exodus 22. This is just amazingly relevant for our times. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn of the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. I mean, right there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is 1,400 years before the birth of Christ, and yet you've got a penalty for arson. And there are, you know, parameters about thieves and being brought before the judges. And, you know, if someone is accused of stealing something, there's really in verse 8 the implication of due process. And we talked about yesterday how if a livestock like a bull or an ox gores somebody,
right,
and they knew that that was a dangerous animal, and the owner of the animal had been warned, contain your dangerous animal, and he didn't, he would have to make restitution. Let me, and just in the interest of time, I want to encourage people to read this for themselves, but verse 14, if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good if it be an hired thing, if it came for his hire. So like if you, since probably most of us are not borrowing and lending livestock, but let's say a tool. Mm-hmm. Let's say you borrow your neighbor's saw and you break it. You need to make it right. And, you know, if you rented it, you know, you need to make it right or make arrangements. Jeff, this is ethics, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it really is.
What we're talking about here is ethics.
I heard my Sunday school teacher, actually Sunday, talked about borrowing a wheelbarrow from his father and the handle broke. He kept that and taught his son. They bought a new handle, bought a new tire, sandblasted it, repainted it, and gave it back in better condition because he wanted to teach his
yes.
son, we don't just take things back, we bring it back better than we found it, which again is a great witness. But I think one of the other things that this does here, and all of these things, Alex, and you may have talked about this yesterday, this presupposes it affirms the concept of private property. You know,
yes.
one of the accusations against the Christian community, or one of the things that people try to say that the pilgrims did when they shared all of their things, or the New Testament church when they shared things, is that there was a type of communism that was there. The Bible affirms the right of private property, and all of these things, or most of these things, at least have that concept in mind when you're dealing with neglect or abuse or oaths or any of those kinds of things. So the concept of private property is a God-given concept.
It really is. And, you know, the thing with the early church in the book of Acts, there is a verse that says they held things in common. But I want to just say this. Communism is different than communism. The thing about the early church and the generosity, it was voluntary. And it was based on you know, serving God and showing charity, whereas Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin, communism is very atheistic,
yeah.
and it's enforced by the fist of the state, not voluntary by the heart led by God's Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to continue in Exodus 22. Alex McFarland, Jeff Shambly, this edition of Exploring the Word. So honored you're listening. Stay tuned. We've got a brief break. Exploring the Word is back after this.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Right now, want that mountain to move. Right now, want the ocean to part. Right now, God, I'm looking for you, and I'm wondering where you are. But why do I worry? God, I know you haven't failed me yet. Why do I worry? You prove it over and over again. Every time.
American Family Radio, you're listening to Exploring the Word. I'm Jeff Shambley along with Alex McFarland. Good afternoon. We are in Exodus chapter 22, talking about a lot of principles and laws that God had given Israel in terms of getting along together and honoring God in society. So we're eager to dive back into that. Alex, there's an important event coming up this summer that deals with understanding the authority of the Bible. You want to tell our listeners about that?
Sure. I'm so excited to be coming to Tupelo, Mississippi for the Activate Summit. This is June 12th, 13th, and 14th, and it's going to be at the Cadence Arena in Tupelo. And maybe you've been to Tupelo before, maybe you've visited the American Family Association headquarters, but if you have never been to Tupelo, I'm telling you, it is just one of the greatest cities. You're going to love it. There's a lot to see, a lot to do. You can see the American Family Association. I hope you'll come to all the seminars, but a lot of history. Great restaurants, by the way. Tupelo is a great place to go. But the theme of the Activate Summit is bedrock, the Bible, God's Word, as our foundation. Now, it's for all ages, and I want to encourage everybody to go to the website. Jeff, I want to have you give that URL in just a moment, but listen to this. I'll be speaking. Frank Turek will be speaking, just a great thinker. Jenna Ellis, attorney, broadcaster. She's on Jenna Ellis in the morning. Ed Vitagliano, lot of great speakers. And so Activate is all about all ages, grown-ups, husbands, wives, teenagers, even there's going to be activities for children. Because, Jeff, the Bible is the bedrock foundation of every Christian's life. It has been, and I pray will be, the bedrock for our nation. And I'm just profoundly honored to speak at the Activate Summit. Again, June 12th through 14th, as you're, you know, planning a summer trip or travel for coming up. It'll be here before you know it. Jeff, what is that URL? I don't want to give it wrong.
So if people want to find out more about the Biblical Bedrock Conference, Building on the Authority of Scripture, here in Tupelo, Mississippi, the website is activate.afa.net/summit. Once again, let me give it to you. activate.afa.net/summit, and registration is now open.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, we are in Exodus 22, and I want to point some things out here. The first really 15 verses deal with just social stability and just the rule of law. It really, 16 and following get into moral and spiritual issues. And let me say that 16 talks about, if a man commits an immoral act with a woman, then he is like duty bound to marry her. And then there's verse 17 talks about doing right not only by the woman but doing right by the family, and paying a dowry. I'm going to say this now, folks. Here's the thing: what God gave to Israel is not necessarily what Europe, I think about the Magna Carta in the 1200s, took biblical principles about human rights And certainly in America, we were a natural law Judeo-Christian country. And Jeff, part of the reason I'm kind of getting into the weeds here, whenever I have been at a university or a debate, and I'll talk about the Christian moral foundation, sometimes skeptics will say, oh, well, Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Does that mean that, you know, are they going to persecute, you know, non-Christians that engage in something like that? First of all, witchcraft is occultism, and it's demonic, and it's wrong, and it's incredibly spiritually dangerous. But let me say, America is a country founded on objective moral truth.
Yeah.
We are not a theocracy like ancient Israel was. God was raising up Israel through whom to send the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And God told Abraham in Genesis, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And indeed, the whole human race has been blessed by the coming of the Savior. So the, listen carefully, folks, the ceremonial laws are not necessarily applicable to America or any other nation, but from Britain to much of Europe, certainly to the colonies, the moral precepts absolutely were. Mm-hmm. So no, we do not execute unsaved people that are possessed by the devil, but you know, we are a nation based on moral boundaries. What somebody personally believes or doesn't believe is a matter of their own heart before God.
Right.
But Jeff, what's dangerous about the times in which we live, since kind of the 60s, really, the personal proclivity, you believe what you want to believe, that's been extrapolated to mean lawlessness throughout the culture, and that's just taking personal liberty too far.
Yeah, the concept is liberty under law. You know, we have liberty, but there are constraints. No one wants to live in a you know, no one wants to drive on a highway with no traffic laws. I mean, this is not a good thing. Society is ordered by the laws that we have. You know, one of the uniquenesses about our society, and you've pointed that out, is that our rights come to us not from man, but they come from God. And just as recently as these nomination hearings, these confirmation hearings, Bernie Sanders asked the question, and I forgot who he was asking it to, do you believe in a fundamental right to health care? And, you know, the person may have felt like they were put on the spot, but if you examine that question, if you have a right to health care, that means that you have a right to someone else's labor. And so,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so where do our rights come from?
I'll put it this
way.
Yeah. Yeah. You absolutely have the right to buy health insurance if you want that product.
Yeah. So where your rights don't come. If our rights come from men, we've got chaos. Our rights
AOC,
come from God.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez 2 years ago said that access to Wi-Fi was a human right. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well,
it's crazy.
See, here's the thing, though. There was a time when Wi-Fi didn't exist. The beautiful thing about America's founding is it was based on natural rights that were timeless and applicable to all people. And those rights, broadly summarized, are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. In other words, we have legal protection for the unborn. Because unless it is self-defense or national defense, no one has the right to take another human's life.
Yeah.
So we have legal protection for the unborn. And so health care, Joe Biden told us that college education is a human right. Mm. Well, I think education is wonderful. I've spent adult life in Christian higher education. But Jeff, I'll just say this, and we'll get back to Exodus 22. Mm-hmm. When you have to work and pay for something yourself, you attach a value to it, and you appreciate it more. I believe that, don't you?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. Thankfully, I think some of these comments that are made are just over the top, and people see past them. But it is scary when people start talking about rights that are fundamental human rights that are nowhere in Scripture, nothing that God has given us. These are privileges that we have of living in a great country, but they are certainly not God-given rights.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, let me mention something here. It talks about, verse 19, there's this very strong prohibition against bestiality, which is just unspeakably immoral. And again, this is Israel, a theocracy. He that sacrificeth unto any god except the Lord, and it's all caps, it means Almighty God, Yahweh, he shall utterly be destroyed. Listen, God was intently working to preserve the purity, the spiritual purity of Israel, because they would possess their land and they would ultimately bring forth the Messiah. Verse 21, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, the word vex there is a Hebrew word, and it means to mistreat. And this right. is Y-A-N-A-H. You shall not, it says, extort, be violent, mistreat. The old King James says, vex a stranger. What this does not mean, in no way could this be Exodus 22:21. It doesn't mean socialism. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, I don't mean to belabor this point, but I've talked to professed Christians, left-leaning Christians, that want to take this one verse yeah. and argue for socialized medicine. Let me say this. Treating someone honestly and charitably, that's not the same thing as open borders and right. lawlessness.
Yeah.
I wrote a book called The Assault on America, How to Save Our Nation Before It's Too Late. And I document in that book, socialism had been tried 80 times in America before 1900. Mm. And 80 times it had been abandoned because it doesn't work. The difference between the Plymouth Colony and the Jamestown Colony that didn't survive, Bradford in the Plymouth Colony introduced private property ownership and basically what we would call free market capitalism. It thrived. It produced industry and a work ethic. The Jamestown Colony destroyed itself. So, folks, don't be misled. The call that we treat everyone honestly and respectfully, that's not the same thing as Marxism.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And this verse that you mentioned on the strangers, and people twist the scriptures, but God gives the reasons for this. He says, you shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So he's reminding these people of their past. And that their kindness toward those that are sojourners in their land is based on the fact that they too were once oppressed by cruel masters, and that they mm-hmm. should show compassion. So it's interesting that the Lord points them back to their own experience there.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, this is a tacit condemnation of slavery. See, yeah. sometimes those on the left, they'll say, well, you know, it talks about slavery. The Bible must endorse. And by the way, sadly, during the Jim Crow years in the South, some horribly misguided people tried to use the Bible to legitimize slavery, and it does not. In fact, this is a condemnation of slavery. By the way, verse 22, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. And the word there, afflict, is similar to the word for vex in verse 21, but it means do not extort or mistreat really dishonestly extract money from a widow or an orphan. And, God promises to hear their prayers and their cries, and God promises wrath mm-hmm. on those that would mistreat or abuse widows or orphans.
Yeah.
And by the way, there is in verse 25, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. Okay, there is a phrase called predatory lending. And, my goodness, if there's a, you know, the term debtor's hell has been used about compounding interest where somebody can barely pay the interest, can never even pay back the principal. People are not to exploit those that are poor. Jeff, you might have heard of the term microfinance, and this is not to get off track into money issues, but basically we're not to take advantage of people when they're vulnerable and weak. And people have done that financially. We're not to exploit or take advantage of someone financially.
Yeah, and business practices are involved in that too, because how many times do you see the enticement of people that don't have means to spend money on something that they don't need? And I think that's a form of oppression. The gambling industry entices people that don't have the means to lose money to come and to spend it. And so I think that is a form of oppression of people that don't have money.
Hey, by the way, you know, it's fascinating things. You know, human nature really doesn't change too much. And by the way, after the break, there's a break in about 2 minutes. We're going to come back and we're going to take prayer requests. If you've got a Bible question, you can ask your Bible question. But also, Tuesday, we do a lot of praying. And the number, I'm going to give that number even though the break is a minute away, but the number is going to be 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 if you have a Bible question or a prayer request. But Jeff, fascinating. You've all heard of a pawn shop, right? Well, the concept of pawning is really mentioned here, and not in a positive way. If you take your neighbor's coat as a pledge, give it to him before night. Why? Because if it's all the clothing he's got, at night when it's cold, how's he going to keep warm?
Yeah.
And so don't charge excessive abusive interest. Don't take the poor man's only coat for the pledge for the money you've lent him. What's the principle? Compassion. Well, and honesty. Hey, stay tuned. We've got a break. We're going to come back with your prayer request and questions after this. Don't go away.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the water.
Well, it's a great day on Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Jeff Shambly, Brent Austin on the board, and you listening, and we're so grateful. If you want to call in, if you've got a Bible question, or if you want to share a prayer request, or maybe a praise, a lot of times we do that on Tuesdays. The number, toll-free nationwide, it's 888-589-8840. And we just praise God for the chance to do this. Jeff, aren't we blessed to get together and read God's Word and just celebrate the things of the Lord and with millions of people across America that have the chance to listen?
Great privilege. And the calls are all lit up. Let's go first to Louisiana and welcome James to Exploring the Word. Hi, James. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Listen to your program. As much as I can, I'm on the road a lot. So this is my prayer request. My son, Dylan, moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, from Louisiana. And after high school and college, he now claims to be an atheist. He was raised in church with me, but I got a four-part prayer request. Number one, for his salvation. We're going to go see him in May, the first weekend of May. We haven't seen him in a year and a half. And so I'm praying for his salvation. I'm praying for the messenger and the message at Landmark Church, where we're trying to get him to visit with us, that his heart will be open to that message, that he will actually come with us to visit the church. And last but not least, myself, because like I told your call screener, I feel like the dad in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where he said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." So I believe that my son will come to know Christ, but it's been a struggle.
Brother, I'm so sorry. Hey, by the way, forgive me. Let me interject this. Landmark Church is just one of the great churches in America. Pastor Matt Holman, I've preached there half a dozen times, I guess. I am thrilled to hear that you're going to go to Landmark. That is a fantastic church. And you mentioned Mark. You know, Mark 9:26 says some things happen only by prayer and fasting. And I don't know all the circumstances related to your son's rejection of the faith, but, you know, as you pray, that's wonderful. But even consider, you know, fasting and praying for the Spirit of God to break through his heart. Yeah. But anyway, continue. You had another point you wanted to add, sir?
No, that was, well, I heard about Landmark Church on your program. You was talking to that pastor, I don't know, a few months ago. And I was able to call down there, up there, and talk to Casey Reagan. And Casey's been praying with me also. And so we will be meeting with him. I contacted him, and we'll be meeting with him on that Sunday morning. And like I said, I'm hoping my son will at least come and visit.
Amen. Hey, I want to pray about this. Forgive me, I don't mean to dominate. Casey Reagan is a dear man, Casey and Connie. And Casey, he might be listening. He can't see. I don't know how he lost his vision, but this man is an evangelist. They've got so many incredible outreaches to that city and that region. Jeff, can I just pray? And forgive me, sir. What's your son's first name?
Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N.
Dylan, let's pray together. Yeah. Lord, thank you so much for this godly father, very concerned about his son. And Lord, I lift up Dylan. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to call out to him even right now. And Lord, help him to remember the gospel that he heard growing up. Lord, I pray that you will have Dylan desire a relationship with you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, keep him alive physically till he could be born spiritually. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that soon and very soon, Dylan will open his heart to you, put his faith in you, Jesus, and live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I pray for Landmark and Matt Holman, Casey Reagan, Charlie and Kim McMillan, a lot of incredible Christians there. And Lord, I just pray that when they go to church, Dylan will go, but give this father faith and endurance as he intercedes for the soul of his precious son here. And Lord, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do to bring Dylan to a relationship with yourself. And we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. James, thank you for calling in and for sharing that. Let's go next to Arkansas, or no, let's go to Alabama. Beth is calling in today. Hi, Beth. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good to have you along today.
Pardon?
Good. You're on the air. Go right ahead, Beth, with your prayer request.
Okay. My daughter has some friends that live next door. Well, they're the neighbors, and they're elderly and not in good health. And she has been praying them for them for years because she knew that they were not Christian. And the wife has taken a spell and is in the hospital on a ventilator. And we just want to pray that my daughter was going there this morning to pray with her and pray over her that she would ask come into her heart.
Beth, did you say your daughter is going to visit her or has visited her?
She has visited her several times.
Okay.
They sort of like caretakers because the family does not have, they don't have any children that live close by.
Okay.
So my daughter and son-in-law have been like dear children to them.
Wow. That's so sweet. Jeff, why don't you pray for these people to come to know the Lord?
Yes, let's pray. Father, thank you for the witness and the power of the gospel to transform lives and for your Spirit to open eyes, Lord, and to bring to realization the need to repent and to believe. I thank you for Beth, Lord, and for her daughter who has such a heart for her neighbor. And Lord, I pray that you would provide the opportunity for her to pray and Lord, somehow for this dear lady to be able to hear and to understand and in her own way turn to you and receive you, Lord, even in this moment. Thank you for the power and the hope that we have in Christ, and I pray that you would make her witness effective as she ministers to this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's go to Texas. Barry, you're on Exploring the Word. Hi, welcome, and go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question. Somebody was asking me the other day as to how the various apostles met their death. Now, I know in Scripture we know about Peter and Paul and James, but what about the others? Because I don't think that's found in Scripture. Are there other sources that can be relied upon in terms of validating how they died?
Hey, let me jump in here on this, and thank you for this great question. I want to mention a book by Sean McDowell, and that's spelled S-E-A-N. Sean McDowell is a close friend of 25 years, and he is the son of Josh McDowell. And Sean McDowell did a book on the fate of the martyrs, the early followers of Jesus. Now, we know, like, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and we know ultimately how, you know, some of the early martyrs died, like Stephen. But I will say this. On the one hand, the martyrdom of so many of the early Christian leaders was based on church tradition, which has been incredibly trustworthy. But my friend Sean McDowell, he did his PhD, his doctoral dissertation, and I think probably more exhaustive research than any other book, and how Sean documents how what we knew, like Peter being crucified upside down because Peter didn't want to die in the same way Jesus died, that, yeah, the early Christians, from the apostles to many, many other throughout the Roman Empire, they were martyred, they were killed, and none recanted. Jeff, nobody said, you know, oh, please don't kill me, Jesus didn't rise.
Exactly.
Nobody
exactly.
said that. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sean McDowell, I think, has done the most exhaustive research on that. And if you Google his name, you'll find his book. Forgive me, the title of his dissertation escapes me, but it was published and has really been hailed kind of as a landmark in this particular topic.
There you go, Barry. Great book to research on that. Good question. Thank you for calling in. Next, let's stay in Texas and welcome Cassandra to the program. Hello, Cassandra. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much. Yes, I just got off the phone. This is a prayer request, please. I just got off the phone with my sister-in-law, Gianna, my husband's sister, and she lives out of state. She's very deep into the occult movement, and it's really hard to watch, and I'm kind of the only one she really talks to anymore, but I try to talk to her. But I just want prayers for God to break those chains, and it's really hard. And then for my husband, because I know she weighs heavy on his heart every day. He's a Stephen minister. He's very compassionate kind of person and empathetic. And so it's just like she's weighing heavy on his heart. And I need probably a little more of that, but I'm just like, she's affecting him now too. And we've given her quite a lot of money over the years, quite a lot. And oh my goodness. So I just want wisdom and discernment for him and for me as well. And for her, for God to break these chains. And I know she kind of wants to come stay with us. She came to stay with us last summer. I could tell she wanted to come again this summer, but I'm not having it. I'm not allowing that. I didn't realize how deep she was bringing that stuff into our home. I'm not allowing that.
Right. All right, Cassandra, thank you for calling in and for sharing that. Alex, you want to lead us in prayer for Cassandra and her sister-in-law?
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Cassandra and the relative. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the chains of occultism to be broken. Satan is a liar. Satan is malicious. There is no power in the occult. There's only bondage. There is no truth in the occult. There's only darkness. And so, Lord, I pray for the Spirit of God to fill and protect this home and this family. And Lord, I pray for all the people out there that, whether it be something like the horoscope or tarot cards, fortune telling, occultism, it is of the devil. So please break the chains, open blind eyes, and let people forsake all of that darkness and turn to the one who is light and the one who is life, the one and only Savior, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cassandra, for calling in today. Kristen, in the state of Indiana, welcome to Exploring the Word. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm calling for a prayer request for my husband, his doctors, and the medical staff. He's going to have spinal surgery next week, Wednesday, fusion from L2 to L5. So we need prayers for his safe surgery and speedy recovery.
And what is your husband's name?
His name is Guy.
Guy, okay. All right, let me pray for Guy. Lord, thank you for Kristen and for her being able to call in today and share this need. And Father, we do intercede for Guy and for those that will care for him, the doctors and the hospital staff, that you would guide their hands and give them the wisdom and understanding they need to be able to treat him. And then, Father, we pray that you would guide him through this recovery time. Lord, that his eyes and his heart would be upon you, and he would know firsthand the peace that only you can give. Father, I pray for a successful surgery and for a lingering health in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Kristen,
amen.
Thanks for calling in. One more call. Let's go to Jeremy, who's calling in from Arkansas. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. Good to have you along. Go right ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to request prayer for my congregation, the church that I go to. We just lost our second pastor within a 4-year period to cancer. Mm-hmm. And here pretty soon, and on the 6th of next month, we're going to have our first outside preacher come in who may be, you know, looking at the job. And I just want to pray that we would be led in the right direction as a congregation as a whole.
Amen. Amen. Hey, that's good. And condolences. I'm sorry you've had two clergy pass away. You know, Jeff, when a beloved person passes, it's always hard. But, you know, when the minister gets sick and dies, that can be hard to get past, but the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Let's pray about that.
Yes.
Father God, I pray for this church, and Lord, bless this man for his desire to pray and intercede for his congregation. Lord, I do pray for just wisdom from you as they look and interview their next senior minister. And I know so many churches are in that way as well. So Lord, I pray for this particular congregation that you will comfort them, and of course the bereaved family as well. And Lord, just a reminder, every day is a gift. Oh my goodness, what a gift that we are alive. What a gift to be healthy. And Lord, how we need you in times of sickness and bereavement, and then in the decision-making of another pastor. So, Father, we pray for this church, and we lean on the promise of Matthew 16:18, that you would build your church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Thank you for this show. Thank you for this great ministry, this network, and for each and every listener. We pray every blessing from you on their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Great show, Alex.
Jeff, thank you. Jeff Shambly of The Stand, The Seconds Fleet Away. Where can they find you online, Jeff?
AFR.net/The Stand. AFA.net/The Stand. Sorry about that.
That's right. Yep. Folks, thanks for listening. Hey, keep your radio tuned to the American Family Radio Network. Please, if you would, tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.